You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Production, its ownership, management, or staff.
Welcome to Key Facts with Grady Pettigrew, law and business for everyday living.
Welcome to TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. You're in touch with Key Facts. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima Pettigrew, and I have the opportunity to fill in for Judge Grady Pettigrew today, and that is a great honor and a lot of fun. And it's an honor because we all know how much I adore my father, but it's a lot of fun because of the guest we have today. Would you introduce yourself to us, please?
Well, thank you for having me. I am Beverly Corner. I'm an attorney here in Franklin County in the city of Columbus, and I'm running for Columbus City School Board, and I am happy to be here, and thank you for the honor of being with you today. Even though it's not your dad, I still appreciate you being here and assisting.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. You have many exciting things coming up. Yes, then.
Yes, November 5th is the election, and so far from what the newspapers say, I'm kind of trailing behind, and maybe that's because a lot of people don't know me, or they may know me but don't know what my particular run is on the Columbus Public School Board. One, I am a product of the Columbus Public School System. Okay. I graduated from Walnut Ridge High School back in the 80s. And I got a really good education in this district. I went off to college and law school here at the Ohio State University College of Law. And now I believe that I'm an active citizen in my community, and I brought my wares back to the community in which cultivated me. So that's what I want to be as a part of the district and the Columbus Public School District, is to be there to activate and cultivate what has not been done in the past now. And it's really given our district a bad taste in my mouth, but let alone a bad taste throughout the district about money and the different things that are going on. And what's going on with the fact that our children are suffering because of the acts of the administration and the board. And I just believe that new blood would be a better situation, but new blood, but old take on new blood, somebody who is a part of this community, invested in the community, who really has children in the community. I didn't run from the district just because of what was going on. I believe as a parent that I have an obligation to say that if I pay taxes in the city of Columbus, I should be able to have my children get a good education in that same district.
Well, my home is in North Carolina, so I would love it if you would draw me a picture. Tell me what it's like in the Columbus Public Schools right now.
It's sad. I visit a couple of schools. I mean, this is 2013, and all of our schools don't even have air conditioning. So in the summertime, when our children need to be learning, or when they start school in that August sweltering heat, every school doesn't have air conditioning. The kids have fans. I mean, when you're hot and muggy, what happens? You get tired.
Distracted.
You can't learn the way you need to. Fans going on in the rooms, and that means the teachers can't be heard as well. I mean, it's a sad
Isn't
situation.
Isn't that a health risk, too?
It could be. It's sure. Overheating. They indicate in the libraries with their with the computers, if it gets too hot, they shut down. So how do children learn off of shut down computers? They can't. And this is happening throughout our district, unfortunately. And we're a large district with a lot of money. Where's the money going? And now they want us to vote on more money coming into the district, which is unfortunate, because you've got the data scrubbing. And that's a money issue. Mm. And nobody's indicating who's going to get punished for that. Because don't children get in trouble in school if they cheat?
Oh, sure.
So what will happen? What's going to happen to the administration that just left? They cheated. Do we have to pay for it as the citizens, as the individuals that are part of the district? Or should they pay for cheating? And then they take that away from what they've harmed our district for.
Wow.
You know, that I think those are the marring issues that are going on in our district. And if the individuals in our community choose to vote those same people back into those positions, what do they say? Shame on me.
Right.
The second time around,
yeah.
I mean, it's no different than Madoff took money. Do you think if he didn't go to jail and got punished, maybe people trust him and say, oh, we'll give him more money? Do you think that's a smart thing to do? I mean, if you weren't loyal to your constituents in the first place by not doing wrong, how loyal are you going to be to the constituents after you say, ha ha, they voted us back in. Well, we're going to do the same thing. Maybe we are loyal as constituents, but unfortunately, we need to get rid of those who are not loyal to us in the public positions that are supposed to bring about some of our issues and hopes. I've had parents get upset because they're saying that they'll go to the school to try to see what's going on with their children and get locked out. I mean, who's afraid to let their, this is supposed to be a safe place. So if I'm a parent, I need to be able to go in and see how safe it is and see that my child is doing what my child's supposed to be doing. And if my child's not doing that, then I need to be able to communicate with those teachers or administrators. So it's a sad, sad situation that's going on right now. And we need to be accountable. We need to be more prevalent in our position to say, I was wrong, but we can do better. Or if we can't get those people who could do better or needed to do better, we need to get them out and put some people in who really have a vested interest in making sure our district becomes an A1 district, not a D1 district or F district, you know, in the whole state of Ohio. So I just my passion is to bring something better. I know they always say one vote doesn't count, but maybe my vote can count, or maybe a discussion about it can get some people to think about doing the correct thing and doing the correct thing for our district and the children in our district and the parents.
Wow. You know, I, as a North Carolina resident, I feel just like I was watching a Lifetime movie or something. I'm like, wow, that was riveting. And then I realize, oh, that is also real.
It is.
Wow.
Very real.
So, okay, what are the consequences to our children, our precious resources of our children, if they have schools that, like you're describing, where it's difficult to learn, maybe administration is not living up to certain accountability standards? What's the fallout?
Well, the big thing with Columbus Public School is no child left behind. Mm-hmm. Guess what? They're going to get left behind.
Right.
They're going to get left behind. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's an urban district that indicates that it's more depressed in income or the color scheme of the children are in a position that they cannot learn. I'm an African American woman. Mm-hmm. I learned in the district without a problem. Mm-hmm. And we didn't even have the technology back in the 70s and the 80s that we have now. And why is that? I learned, but now all of a sudden with all this new technology and things like that, our children can't learn. That's hogwash.
Yes. Well, let's talk about learning, because learning is something that I feel, you know, I teach at the college level. And so I get the folks after they've been through public schools, not here in this state, but in another state.
Right.
And sometimes I'm horrified. I sometimes want to know, what were you doing for 12 years? I mean, why don't you know the difference between your and your and there and there and lay and lie? What's going on? Because is there something happening as a cultural shift that is impacting the quality of learning?
That's a good question. I don't know if there's anything that's impacting the cultural shift besides maybe video games and television might be a distraction for most. But as a parent, mm-hmm. I think in order for us to have children who are educated, we had to promote education is the key, because no one can ever take your brain away from you.
Right.
So the more you know, the more you have in your brain and the knowledge that you bring about in the surroundings that you're in, the more apt are you to proceed forward into new ventures and new ideas instead of whatever's going on just with your little horsey blinders on.
Yes.
So the parents are a very good key, even if you're not as educated. My mother didn't have but a high school education and a little bit of college, of a college that no longer exists called Bliss College here in Columbus, Ohio, which was a little secretarial school. Mm-hmm. So she never went to college, and she promoted with my sister and I, who now has her PhD, you know, that, hey, education is the key to your success in life. And therefore, you will be able to be more financially stable throughout your life. It's not about temporary issues of basketball stardom or temporary issues of rap stardom. I mean, I don't see anybody 70 years old rapping.
Well,
I mean,
that's a really interesting point, and I want to take that up because we're talking about longevity, right? We're talking about endurance.
Exactly.
But first, I need to remind our listeners that we are TalkTainmentRadio.com, and our fall season premiere of new programs have been added to the schedule. We have new programs like Time Out for Marriage, Men Speak, and Old Time Gospel Hour. So we go where you go. Download our app to your cell phone and you can take us wherever you go. And it's free. And you know what that means? No cost means no excuse. So download it now. You know, I'm interested in what you said about longevity because my brother always says you have to learn to play the long game. And he's a college professor also. And he always says you have to learn to play the long game. He says, like you said, you know, if my plan, this is my 70-year plan, is to be cute or to have swag, that may not pan out for me like I hope that it will. So do we need to, we're talking about learning. We're talking about inspiring people to learn and sort of helping them not to be distracted from learning also. Right. And when I was growing up, my mother told me every day, you have a destiny. I don't know about other people, but you have a destiny. Mm-hmm. Well, if you really have that ingrained in you that you have a destiny, there's some people you won't take up with.
Exactly.
There's some things you won't do. Some people will say, hey, baby, you'd be like, I have a destiny. Can't look over there. Don't care if you do have nice teeth in a car. You know, I don't care how much swag you have. I have a destiny. Destiny will give you the power to wait.
Absolutely.
Delayed gratification. Right?
Absolutely.
This generation wants to eat its dinner in the morning instead of working hard and putting it into, I know, my granddaddy, right? He's one of those great Southern gentlemen that just all the time said great stuff.
That's pretty
just great stuff, you know. But it was right.
Right.
And so when you start talking about education, isn't it one of the most powerful things you can invest into your future?
I mean, my thing is this. My sister just got her PhD. She'll be 50 next
month.
That's
awesome.
So my thing is, you, if you understand the ability of your brain, this organ, you will learn until the day you die.
Oh, wow.
And there's people that can't dance until the day they die.
Mm.
They can't twerk until the day they die. You know, they can't look perfectly beautiful until the day they die. Because no matter how much plastic surgery you get, there's still some parts around
the
your
days
surgery
are numbered.
That there's wrinkles, okay? So you being able to invest in your brain waves and then expound that onto someone younger or even someone older, that's your legacy. Something like you say, it will be there forever because somebody will say, this person showed me and taught me this. And that's something you can never, ever, I mean, that's an achievement of all achievements.
Absolutely.
So we wouldn't have as many educational institutions around if it wasn't important.
Absolutely.
We don't have a lot of basketball colleges. We don't have a lot of rapper colleges.
Mm-mm.
We have a lot of higher learning institutions.
Right.
And that has to be the key. And excuse me, what we have to learn in our community is we are entitled to that same kind of education no matter where we live.
I want to take up something that you said, too, about the future, because I'm interested in the fact that if you want to shut down an entire population, and I say this as a Native American woman, one of the best ways you can do it is through the school system.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking about Pratt, who started Carlisle Indian School. He looked around, he thought, you know, these warriors are very fierce. We'll be fighting with them forever. This will go on and on and on. There is just not a thing we can do about this. But if we want to conquer these people, what we'll do is take their children away, put them in boarding schools, and kill the Indian, that's a quote, and save the man. If you want complete and utter genocide, education is an interesting way to go about it.
That's true.
Malcolm X said only a fool would let his enemy educate his children. So when we look at education, how do we reclaim it for ourselves? Because I'm obviously a proponent of education. Education's been very beneficial to my life and certainly to my father's. So how do we convince our next generation, you need some education too?
I think when I have a next generation, I
yes,
have one
you
graduating
do.
In 2017
wow.
and one graduating in 2019.
Wow, okay.
So one point of education being very important is me emulating that to them.
Yes.
In addition, when they do have problems at school, not discount those. Go and find out what's going on, because mm-hmm. sometimes mm-hmm. you need to go and figure out, well, what's really going on?
Right.
Let's not be afraid of. Mm-hmm. I mean, just to give you a quick little situation that occurred with my oldest daughter. She was 8 years old in the fourth grade, and a substitute teacher came into her school,
mm-hmm.
and the woman went outside of curriculum and decided to talk about race.
Uh-oh.
To my children. And my daughter, we had dinner every night. So we're sitting and we're having dinner, and she goes,
wow.
Mom, there was an Indian boy in there with a darker skin.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that, well, in Africa, that the children were closer to the sun, and that's why their skin was so dark. Now, I went way to the left, and I faxed a letter to the principal, and that next day that substitute teacher was gone. And I told the principal, because she was only in the fourth grade, so I had a year or more to go. I think she was in the third, I'm not sure. But anyway, if she comes back, it's going to be a problem. Because
now this happened in this century, right?
This was not this century.
This is not 18
no.
something.
It happened.
Wow.
She was 8 years old. I think she was in the fourth grade.
That's amazing. Yeah.
It was crazy. And she came on. She said
wow.
My daughter said the N word and everything.
Oh,
she
no.
said the lady denied it. The teacher.
Oh,
the,
sure.
The,
wow.
But I'm like, no, we're not mm-hmm. having that. Mm-hmm. So it's about finding out,
right.
You know, and I'm sure I was the only parent that said something. But she did take the lady out of the school. Because
wow.
why should I allow for this individual
right.
to teach my child, let alone any of the other children,
right.
and accept that that is the right thought process? Because they were impressionable already. But when my daughter came home and told me, which is a good thing, you know, what happened at school today,
yes.
then I handled it immediately.
Well, here's what's interesting about that. You know, there was a time when your mother and father, grandparents, great-grandparents, aunts, uncles, godmom, godfather, they were all very interested in what happened to you at school
Absolutely.
Today.
Absolutely.
You were required to report upon what you had learned
Absolutely.
And what was going on. And if there was not going right, then somebody's going over to the school to find out what's going on. What's going on with parental involvement these days?
I think, too, with a lot, and I'm not saying that all young parents are the same, because
mm-hmm.
depending on their particular situation in school, but a lot of times, instead of seeing what's going wrong, they want to say that the system is wrong. You know, so they come into the environment and say, no, my child didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
No, my child didn't say that. No, my issue isn't that. My issue is to come to find out what's going on. Because I know children manipulate or exaggerate sometimes, or sometimes they, you know, don't always tell, they omit some of the facts that would possibly say,
right.
Okay, you didn't give me the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes they're right.
Right.
They're being harassed
no,
at school.
No, a lot of times they are. Right.
Yeah, they're being harassed at school or bullied at school,
yes.
either by a teacher or by other children. And the reason why we have some of this violence a lot of time is that the administration sees this stuff grow, but they don't nip it in the bud
right.
immediately. And I don't know what that's about. Are they afraid of the children?
Right.
Do they have a disconnect from the children? Do the parents have a disconnect from
mm-hmm.
their own children, as well as trying to work with the administration? I don't have the right answers for that, but that's one purpose of me running for
right.
the district and trying mm-hmm. to find out, how is it that in the 60s and the 70s, when there was really more racial unrest.
Sure. And legalized, too.
Correct.
There were actually laws in place to keep certain things the way
Correct.
They were.
Correct. But I still got a good education,
right.
and I didn't have the feeling that I was unsafe in my school or I couldn't learn.
Right.
I had a principal in elementary school named Mr. Simon.
Well, when we come back from break, I want to talk more about that. I want to talk about your vision and how you see yourself being part of the solution
okay.
to a big problem. This is TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio and the home of Brother K, educating to liberate on Conversate with the AM Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Stay right there. More of Key Facts up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We go where you go. Download the new Talktainment Radio app to your Android, iPhone, or tablet. Now you can take us wherever you go, and it's free. Download today. The world's greatest radio. Radio. The way it should be heard.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Our lives are affected every day by innovations from the minds of African Americans. Support the United Negro College Fund, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. Food for thought.
I guess it's time for us to have that talk with our children on how we should carry ourselves and act in public. If ever there is a feeling of uneasiness about a situation or feeling that something is not right, we should try to exit the area immediately. And if threatened, call 911. Back in the day, parents routinely had that talk, and I guess those days never really left us. I spent my younger years in Sanford, Florida. It was segregated then by law, and it still seems to be in some situations and with some people. I remember family members routinely having conversations on how to act and react in public. Sadly, those conversations need to continue.
That's another Food for Thought. To hear additional Food for Thought, stay tuned to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
This is Key Facts with Grady Pettigrew, law and business for everyday living.
Oh, I'm so glad you tuned in to Key Facts today. Judge Grady Pettigrew is the host of this fine program, and I'm Dr. Dawn Karima Pettigrew, and he's granted me the privilege of visiting with you today. And we have a fabulous guest who will now reintroduce herself to you.
Hello, audience. This is Beverly J. Corner. I'm running for Columbus Public City School Board. Please come out and vote for me. I'm just saying, please come out and vote for me on November 5th. If you've already got your absentee ballots in or you're still sending those in, please vote for Beverly J. Corner. I am the one to sit on that board and help get our district back in the right place. Let's get out the old, bring in a new, like my name is Corner. Let's turn a new corner, and I will be there in that name to make sure that that happens for our children.
Wow, that's a lot of passion and enthusiasm. Why are you so excited about this?
I'm just so excited because it's a part of me. This being a part of Columbus, Ohio, being a born and raised here, understanding, you know, I can't be that far from knowing what people in my community where I grew up in needs and wants and desires for their children in school. Yes. I'm a product of the Columbus public school system. I'm tired of all the bureaucracy of how that individuals can get in a position and not be loyal to the district that they come to represent. A lot of the individuals, even in the past, haven't had their children in the district, but they represented the district.
Oh.
Their kids went to private schools, or their children go to other schools outside the district in our suburb because they touch our 4432 area code, but they live in Columbus, but they still, their children are go to schools outside our district. So my thing is my kids have been here since day one. I've been here since day one. I have a vested interest. I have a loyalty to my district, and I want to be loyal to the community that made me the woman I am today. And I'm proud of that. I don't think I should be not proud of that.
Yes, a real success story.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And we need more of those. We need folks like yourself who say, who don't just get successful and make it and disappear. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's
We need people who understand that the purpose, you're blessed to be a blessing. I don't know how many times I think I heard this at every breakfast over every bowl of oatmeal growing up from my mom. But to whom much is given, much is required.
Absolutely.
And there is a privilege when you're blessed. There is a privilege when you make it. But there's also a price, isn't there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I don't have a problem with paying the price,
right?
Because it's about how what the district has in their model is it's about bringing about international children and that are going to be able to represent our city. Why can't we do that? I know we can.
Right.
I've done it. I've been international and I've come back home.
Well, you know, that's interesting because my mother used to say to me whenever I would say as a little girl that I would do something like I'm going to be on TV someday. Which, you know,
yeah,
hey,
it happened.
She would say, well, somebody's going to be, why not you? And I love your attitude that you want everybody to prosper.
Absolutely.
You want everybody. You're not just saying, you know, me and mine, nope. You know, I got mine, I'm successful. Now my kids are going over here, over there. You're saying I'm willing to invest in the future of this community for generations to come.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
That's my whole purpose. It's not for me to get mine and not try to spread it across and let all our children know if I can do it, you can do it. I mean, to give you a little background about
me,
my parents were married, but my parents divorced in 68.
Mm-hmm.
My mom's a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in that capacity, my mom was not supposed to bring about successful children, being a single mom in the 60s into the 70s. She should have been on welfare and all that. None of those issues came about with my family because my mom understood education. She understood hard work.
Yes.
She indicated anything worth having is worth working hard for.
Thank you.
And that's my whole point of being also a candidate and wanting to be a representative on the school board. It's about hard work, not making excuses, and putting our district back to that A1 district that we used to be and can be in the future.
Sure.
I'm not giving up on it. I'm ready to fight for it.
Absolutely.
And if we don't get enough people on the board to fight for it,
What
do they say? If you don't fight for something, you'll fall for anything.
That's right.
So if our constituents, if you're not going to fight for our district and know that your school and your children are worth fighting for in this district because we pay taxes to get that. And even if we didn't pay taxes, it's something that we should be able to still want to acquire for our children or our future. So that we can say, hey, we have CEOs over here.
Oh, yes.
We have CEOs over there. We have entrepreneurs here. We have individuals who are teaching in higher education because we're smart.
And, you know, we're actually investing in the economic recovery and future of your community.
Absolutely.
You're saying basically we're going to send out people into the future.
Absolutely.
Who will build this into one of the most successful and talented and innovative communities in the world.
Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you, when I was growing up here and the only little tall building was Levesque Tower, I'm like, this one horse town, I'm leaving and I'm not coming back. But now I'm talking 25 years later, my hometown is one of the meccas of the United States when they look at certain things.
Sure.
So that says a lot to me.
Right.
Now, I'm glad I didn't leave. And it's still a good environment to raise children. Is not as volatile as Chicago and other areas, even though the safety is an issue in our schools and our children's safety is very important to me and to the fact that when you do send your children to school, you want them to be safe.
Sure.
We have to learn how to be safe and we have to learn how to